Turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm just going to read a few verses here to you. And we'll go ahead and speak on these things. 1 Peter chapter 1. If you found your place, let's all stand in reverence to God's Word. We're going to start with verse 18. Verse 18 says this. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you for your holy word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. And I pray, dear Lord, that you fill this place with your Holy Spirit. And I pray that, you know, so many times we read in the Bible about how that the whole place was filled with the Spirit of God and how the temple was filled with the glory of God. And dear Lord, we just pray that that's the way it is here in our little church here in Solid Rock Baptist in Hughesville. We pray that the God of this universe will meet with us this morning and speak to our hearts. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you this morning about the love of God. The love of God. You know, so many times we need to be reminded of this, the love of God. You know, this passage of Scripture here that I just read to you, this is the highest motive for us to live holy lives. When you really stop and think about it, we ought to be living holy lives. And why? Because of what God has done for us. Here, Peter reminds us of our salvation, and and this is the one reason that the Lord gave us the Lord's Supper. You see, he wanted us to be reminded constantly, at least monthly, as often as you do this, and what? Remembrance of me. He wants us to remember his death, his burial, and his resurrection. He wants us to remember how much he loved us and what he did for us. Folks, I tell you, a lot of times as Christians, we start becoming callous a little bit. We come to church, we hear about Christ dying on a cross. We hear about how he was beaten with the cat of nine tails, how he was crowned with a crown of thorns, and how he was crucified, and all the rest of the things that took place, and the nails that were put into his hands and feet, and when he gave up the ghost, how his side was pierced by that soldier to making sure that he was dead, and all the rest. And, you know, we just kind of get callous towards those things. But we need to be reminded constantly that God loves us. God really, honestly, truly loves us. And we need to know that. We need to remember how he died and that he died for us. You know, Peter here gives us, he's writing here in 1 Peter. And, you know, if it's not real noisy, why don't you open that door? If it starts getting too noisy, go ahead and close it. But open that door going into the kitchen. Let them have some of this heat that is about ready to kill me up here. Yeah, because I think it's a little bit cool back there in that room. There you go. Thank you. But Peter here wants to give us four reminders. And I want you to follow this with me, because I saw this and I think it'll be a help to you and a blessing. I hope so. Anyway, number one is this. He reminds us of what we were. Of what we were. Here in verse 18, it says this: "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by traditions from your fathers." You know, I see two words in here that I want to bring out. Number one is redeemed. Redeemed. You know, that word nowadays, we usually kind of think of it as a little bit of a theological term and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't have a whole lot of meaning to us. Because people are not redeeming things nowadays. You know what I mean? We buy something and it breaks or something like that, or it doesn't work right or whatever, or we're not happy with it. We toss it out and buy something else. And that's about kind of the way things are. We don't ever take it to any place and leave it, tell them to fix it, and then we'll redeem it. You know, we'll come back, we'll buy it back, you know, or pay for it to come back to us or whatever. But anyway, the truth is, back in the first century, when this was written, there was about 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire. It was that known a number of slaves in the Roman Empire. And for a slave to get freed, he would have to pay the price. And that was what it was, you know. But nowadays, you know, we don't think of slavery as it was in those days, where somebody bought you and they owned you and they made you do this and made you do that and stuff that you didn't want to do and everything else, but or else you'd have to pay the penalty for it and all that kind of thing. But the point I'm trying to say is simply this. No, we were slaves in bondage. And this is why God talks about this term here, redeemed. We were in bondage to sin. We were in bondage to the devil, to be honest with you. He had us on a hook. And to be honest with you, we used to do things that, even though we said, "I'm not going to do that anymore," we still ended up doing it. You know, I've shared with you 100 times, you know, about when I was back in the Navy and stuff like that. And I'll never forget, you know, Liberty Call would come and we'd be like those dogs. I don't know whether you ever saw that on TV or not, where they, you know, they would ring the bell and then they'd give the dogs some food. So every time they rang the bell now, the dogs were all expecting to get some food, you know. And that's the way Liberty Call was. When Liberty Call took place, it wasn't food, but it was going over on the shore and getting into all kinds of sinful things and stuff like that. And we would come back on Sunday after a weekend of liberty, and we'd be broke and hungry and cold and everything else. And we'd come back to the ship, and we'd swear we'd never do that again. And lo and behold, the next week, Liberty Call came, and boy, we're like them old dogs. Saliva starts flowing, and man, we're heading out to the beach, you know. And that's the way it was. Why? Because we were slaves to it. Slaves to sin. I never had any problem with drugs. I never, you know, thank God, because I had a problem with cigarettes, and I tried my best to quit cigarettes. I couldn't quit cigarettes. I got ornery. I got nasty with people. I mean, after about 2 weeks, my wife went out and bought me a pack of cigarettes. anyway, no, I tell you the truth. It's just, you know, it is a terrible thing. When something has a hold of you like that, it just, you know, it's just rough, you know. And I know how things, you know, with people that are fooling around with drugs and stuff, how they must be and how the hold that it must have on them. Alcohol, same thing, and all the rest. You know, I tell you the truth. I remember at the end of the week, I knew I was getting paid on Friday, but Thursday or something like that, you know, we needed some milk and bread. Well, I'd get a little quart of milk or something rather than get a gallon of milk, because I could buy a pack of cigarettes. I only had enough money to be able to buy a pack of cigarettes and a loaf of bread and a little bit of milk like that. So, you know, it's a terrible thing when you would take away from your family the milk and bread they need in order to buy the stupid cigarettes, you know. And that's what I'm saying. I was so hooked on them things that that's the way it was. Now, I wanted to make sure that they were taken care of, but nevertheless, I needed that cigarette, you know. And I was hooked on those things, slaved on those things, and all the rest. And, you know, we're in such a bondage that we would serve sin. We would serve sin. And God says here that we were redeemed. We are redeemed. He talks about us being redeemed. Second thing he talks about here in this passage of Scripture is the fact that he says, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. You know, vain means empty. And I tell you the truth, I had an empty life before I was when I was a slave to sin and all that. You know, I hate to admit it, but I mean, you know, to be truthful with you, I was a Catholic at that time, and as this vain conversation, I was following what my parents had taught me and all that, and I'd gone to church and listen to what they had to say and all that. I knew nothing about the blood of Christ. I knew nothing about being cleansed and about being born again. Never heard the term being born again before that and all this. And until those men came out and led me to Christ that night. You see, unsaved people today are living blindly, and they're living on substitutes. Substitutes. I was living on substitutes. I wasn't really happy with my life. My life wasn't really fulfilled until I trusted Christ. I don't think anybody's life is fulfilled till they trust Christ as their Savior. And then their lives become full, you see. You don't need all the other things that the world has to offer and all that. But what we were trying to do is that we were trying to fill this emptiness with things of this world. And we would get something, and then we'd be real happy because we got that. And we'd feel full. And then all of a sudden we find out that we could get something better, or there's something else that we might want, and all this kind of stuff. And our fullness would come with getting these substitutes rather than a constant fullness of the Holy Spirit of God that we can have through Jesus Christ. Amen. And but anyway, I know that we can live that way. You know, I heard of a woman that was on her way to a card party one time. And this preacher was telling me about this. And anyway, he said that she turned on the radio, and she had on a radio, a Christian station. And there was a preacher preaching then at that point in time. And this is what the preacher said, lo and behold. He actually said this. Said, some of you women know more about cards than you do about the Bible. Well, that God just took that and just really pricked her heart because of it. And she went on back home and decided she was going to start reading her Bible every day instead of going to card parties and all that kind of stuff. And she was going to start living for the Lord, going to church and doing the things that God wants her to do. And her life changed because of that. And she became a great servant of God because of these things. You know, the thing about it is, we sometimes take things that are fun and all that, and we're just kind of, our lives are going by, but we're not really doing anything. Keith was talking this morning about handing things down to our children. You know, we can entertain ourselves through life. If you don't watch it, you can sit and watch TV all day long, and you'll never accomplish a thing. You'll never get anything done. You see, you're entertained all the time. And folks, let me tell you something. We need to watch out for this, that that's not what we're doing. No, the Bible tells us here that He reminds us of what we were. But not only that, but He reminds us of what Christ did for us. Look what it says here in verse 19. It says, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know, Jesus Christ here, the Bible says, He shed His precious blood that we might have eternal life. You know, the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And we need to realize that. You know, Cain and Abel came before God, and they tried to make an offering. And, of course, you know the story about Cain, how he offered the fruits of his labor, you know, some fruits and vegetables or whatever it was, and things that he had grown. It didn't have any blood in it. And folks, let me tell you something. Abel offered up a lamb, and because he offered up the lamb, he was accepted of God, but Cain was not. And God even came to him and said, Cain, if you do what's right, you'll be accepted too. And he still rejected God and went out and slew his brother. You know, the truth of the matter is we are sinners. But we can turn from that sin and trust the precious blood of Christ to wash away our sins. The blood purchased us out of the slavery of sin and set us free forever. You know, when you really stop and think about it, that's a wonderful thing to know, that you are free from sin forever. You know, you're not only free from the bound that sin has on you, the hold, the chains, if you want to use that term, but also you're free from the guilt. You know, a lot of times the devil gets up on my shoulder and wants to tell me about things that I used to do, things that I did before. And I think to myself, you know, I got no business at all being a preacher. What a sinful person I was, you know. And, you know, the thing about it is, those things have all been forgiven. They've all been washed away. And God has forgotten all those things. The debt has been paid for. We're cleansed. So we don't need to, you know, you just take your finger, you know, flip him off your shoulder, amen. Get rid of that rascal, you know. And why? Because you don't need that. You don't need to be put down and everything else. No, we've been cleansed from our sin. We're children of God now. We're born again into the family of God. And this is, we're redeemed people. You know, to redeem means to set free by paying a price. And, you know, to be honest with you, no amount of money can set a sinner free. Now, back years ago, they had their slaves, and a slave could buy his way out by paying the price, whatever the master wanted. And they would pay a certain price, and they'd get their freedom. Or somebody could pay it for them, and they would get their freedom and set them free and that type of thing. But folks, it's not money that can buy our freedom. Freedom from our sin, freedom from the devil, freedom from hell. No, no, it's not that. It's the blood. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Somebody has to die to pay that sin debt. And Jesus Christ died on that cross, shedding all his blood. Say, why is the blood so important? The blood's so important because the Bible says the blood is the life thereof. So when he gave all his blood, he gave all his life there on Calvary's cross. You see, Jesus Christ died for us and paid the sin debt that we had. We can only be free through the very blood of Jesus Christ. And calling Christ the Lamb, notice here in that verse 19, he talked about the precious blood of Christ, but also he used the term as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, what was he talking about there? Well, he was trying to remind us of this doctrine of substitution. The doctrine of substitution. Now, you say, what's that all about? Well, it's an innocent victim giving his life for the guilty. That's really what it's all about. Now, we see this in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve had sinned against God by eating of the fruit and everything. God had to put them outside the garden. But before he put them outside the garden, the Bible says that he slew some animals and took the skins of those animals and clothed Adam and Eve. Now, that means that blood had to be shed. Adam and Eve were clothed with the righteousness of God, to be, if you really want to know the truth, but because of the shedding of blood. Now, we're clothed in the righteousness of God because of the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. We see in Genesis chapter 22, a ram died in the substitution for Isaac. Remember, Isaac, Abraham and Isaac went up on the mount to offer sacrifice. In Exodus chapter 12, we see the Passover lamb. For each of the Jewish households, there was a Passover lamb that the blood had to be put on the doorpost and the lintel in order for the death angel to pass over that house and all the rest. Isaiah 53, it says the Messiah was presented as an innocent lamb. As an innocent lamb. Genesis chapter 22, again, we see that Isaac asked the question to his father Abraham when they were going up on the mountain. He said, Father, behold the fire and the knife and the wood, but where's the lamb for the sacrifice? And God and Abraham said that God always like that. God would present himself a sacrifice. Well, that was a short time prophecy and a long time prophecy. Short time prophecy means that there was a ram caught up in a thicket, and they went ahead and offered that. Where did it come from? Well, God provided it. That's where it was. But the other was when John the Baptist turned around and answered Isaac's question. And he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Folks, let me tell you something. There's going to come a day, it says in Revelation chapter 5, that we're going to all gather together, thousands and millions of Christians, people that are born again, going up into heaven. And along with that, there'll be also the angels in heaven. And the Bible says that we're all going to be singing, worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day. But the third thing, real quick, is this. It reminds us that Christ's death was an appointment and not an accident. Now, folks, let me tell you something. I know in the terms of most people here on this earth, we look at it as those men murdered Jesus Christ. You know, but the Bible tells us differently. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. You see? Let me read you out of John chapter 10 and verses 17 and 18. Look here what the Lord Jesus says. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. You see, the Bible tells us here that Jesus Christ willingly laid down his life and went to that cross. You know, it's amazing because the Bible tells us here that it was before the foundations of the world. Look what it says in verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Now, what does it mean, manifested? The word manifested there means to make known. You see, he's coming out and letting everybody know, understand what's taking place. We understand that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and all the rest. But did we know that he was here before the foundations of the world? The Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And we see that that according to that, he was there, you know, through all this. In fact, it goes on to say that he made all things, and without him was not anything made that was made. Amen. So it's through Jesus Christ that everything was made. Why? If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, you'll see that God spoke. Amen? God said. Now, when you say something, you say words, right? So it was the word that was spoken that created all things. And the Bible says also that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth and so on and so forth, on the waters and all that. So we see that here it was before, even before the foundations of the world. God knew that Adam and Eve were going to sin. God knew that Tom Campbell and it was going to sin. In the years I've been here, from 1946 on up to 2016, amen, and all the rest. Well, God knows this, and He foreordained before the foundations of the world. I needed a Savior, that you needed a Savior, that everybody on this earth needed a Savior. Adam and Eve needed a Savior. And let me tell you something, that Savior came, and His name is Jesus Christ. And He came and died on the cross that we might have hope and faith in God. The fourth thing real quick is this. You know, you ask yourself, you say, okay, yeah, I'm born again. I'm saved. Yeah, I remember these things and all that about Jesus, and I'm glad to hear Him again. But there's a reason for it. You know, God tells us that we need to do something. You know, just to hear the Word of God is not enough. To be honest with you, you got to do something with it. You know, you got to get it down in your heart. You got to believe it in your heart. Having it in your head is not enough to save you. It's not enough to change your life. Not enough to motivate you to live a holy life and all the rest. But the Bible says this in verse 22. See, He reminds us how that we can love one another. We ought to be loving one another. The Bible tells us that we ought to be doing that. You know it as well as I do. What's the two commandments of that Jesus gives us? Love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. And the second is to love thy neighbor as thyself. Folks, let me tell you something. We can't play games with God and say, who is our neighbor? I think He made that very clear, amen, that who our neighbor is. It's anybody, anybody, anybody. All right, but it's here, looking at verse 22. It says this, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth. Now, if I was to ask this morning how many are here or saved, probably everybody would raise their hand and say, yes, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I've been born again and all that. And that's good. Now, I'm glad you are. But look what it says here. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit. Now, the truth is that Christ, that we're sinners, and that Christ died for us, and that we, if we call upon Him, He'll save us. Amen? And so if we do that, then we're born again. Okay? Our souls are purified because we've obeyed the truth. Now, who showed us the truth? The Spirit of God, you see. The Holy Spirit of God is the one that can open our real hearts and help us to see and understand the Scriptures and understand our position before God. You know, before I was saved, I always thought I was all right with God. I knew I did a few things wrong, but nevertheless, I didn't think I was that bad. In fact, I even told the guy that. He said, oh, you're going to heaven? I said, not right off. He said, what do you mean not right off? I said, I'm going to purgatory, you know. And he said, oh, and he says, oh, so you're going to hell. And I said, no, I'm not going to hell. I said, I'm not that bad. He said, well, where do you think you're going to go? And I told him purgatory. But anyway, and there is no purgatory, by the way, folks. But see, I obeyed the truth. Why? Because the Spirit of God revealed to me that night that I was lost. There is no purgatory. There is no, it's either heaven or hell. And I knew I wasn't ready for heaven. I wasn't clean enough to go to heaven. But the Bible says, obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. You see, you don't get saved by loving one another. You get saved by trusting Christ and have your sins washed away. Now, once your sins are washed away, you ought to love each other. Amen? We should. I mean, it doesn't matter what color people are. It doesn't matter whether they're handicapped or whether they're not. doesn't matter whether... I don't have to go through the whole thing. It doesn't matter at all. If it's a human being, then we ought to love them. Amen? It's that simple. Now look what it says in verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You see, you're born again by two things. One is in verse 22. It talks about the Spirit, through the Spirit. And also, verse 23, the Word of God. Listen, anyone that gets saved has to get saved through the Word of God. It's the Word of God. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Look what it says here. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Let me tell you something. We need to have, and you say to yourself, well, okay, how can I love everybody? I'm going to tell you how you can love everybody. It's right here in these scriptures, right here. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That means to be emptied of self. Let the Holy Spirit of God fill you. And the second thing is to be filled with the Word of God. If you're filled with the Word of God, and if you're filled with the Spirit of God, you won't have a problem loving other people. You won't have a problem putting yourself out for other people and trying to do for other people and all the rest. Trying to reach other people. Having a heart for other people. Listen, God wants us to do what's right. And loving Him with all our heart. That means serving Him and doing the things that He wants us to do. You know, I was reading also in James this past week. And James was talking very clearly about faith without works is nothing. It's nothing. It's like the body without the spirit. It's dead. You know? Folks, let me tell you something. We need to do something with our faith. We need to do something with our faith. Ask God what He wants you to do with your faith. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank You so much for Your word. I thank You that You went to the cross for us and You died and Your blood was shed that we might have eternal life. And dear Lord, I also thank You that You revealed to us that through the Spirit that we're to love one another. We're to love You. We're to love You because You cared enough about us. You know, You could have just condemned us to hell and thrown us in the pit, and that would have been all there was to it. Because we deserve it. But Lord, You chose not to do that, but You chose to redeem us. Thank You, Lord, for doing that. Help me now to love You the way that You need to be loved. Help me to cherish You the way that You need to be cherished. And dear Lord, I pray that You'll bless this congregation this morning and help us to leave this place loving You with all our heart and loving each other and loving others, trying to reach out to them. Lord, we thank You for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. We'll sing a couple of verses of invitation. If God's spoken to your heart and you need to come for any reason at all, you come now. As we sing.